This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
So basically, GovChat is an app that was meant for citizen engagement. It was created a couple of years ago, but it actually rose to a lot of prominence during the COVID-19 pandemic, because that's how the government was actually sending out a lot of PSAs and, you know, that type of thing. But unfortunately, WhatsApp and GovChat have been at loggerheads for a couple of years now. And funny enough, the team at Meta, which owns WhatsApp, has actually lost on a number of different occasions. Without going too much, I'll just give you, I'm going to read this paragraph I always put whenever I write about GovChat. Always have to put the background, The background doesn't change. So at the heart of the dispute with WhatsApp is Meta's allegation that GovChat, which was launched in 2018 by Capital Appreciation and the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, is in violation of its contract terms of use, because when it signed up its digital communication program on as a WhatsApp business account, it pledged to use the service to monitor and evaluate service delivery, response times, and corruption in real time. However, after the COVID-19 outbreak in 2020, the government used GovChat to convey awareness messages, symptom tracking notifications, and the provision of test results. So as far as WhatsApp was concerned, the government was basically using WhatsApp against its terms of service.
Interesting.
Right? But GovChat has always just come back to, guys, but we're doing it within the public good and all of that stuff. And they've actually won a number of, so they've been back and forth at the competition tribunal and actually won a number of times. So now Capital Appreciation is just saying, because Capital Appreciation came out with some great results this past week, but they took a knock because they've had to make a provision just because of the GovChat situation, and that caused their headline earnings and all of that stuff to go down. So they were just saying, listen, we still believe in this business. We're going to back them. We're still here, you know, for that business. So it's always very interesting when you see a tiny little company, because basically GovChat is actually in business rescue now. Because they're actually in business rescue because, firstly, there were other contracts that they wanted to come through. They didn't come through fast enough. And then you can imagine the legal fees of a small company like GovChat taking on a big company like Meta. So all those legal fees and all of that stuff, it's been tough. But even through business rescue, Capital Appreciation still saying, guys, we still believe in what these guys have to do. Because think about it, right? If you can make this thing work, you can sell it to other governments, right? You can say, look, South African government is making use of our platform. Dear governments all over Africa, behold, we have a solution for you.
I mean, it does sound like a brilliant initiative. And of course, we know that our government is like big on 4IR and stuff. So in my mind, I mean, it does make sense for somebody not to give up on it.
Yeah.
But I think at some point, maybe South Africa might not be the right country for the pilot, for the initial. Maybe it is best to go somewhere else and come back to South Africa. Could that work better for them?
Yeah, perhaps it could have been, because I'm just thinking about countries that have taken the whole thing of e-governance and all of that stuff very seriously. I would take it to Rwanda.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because they've been, you know, very big on, you know, digitizing a lot of government processes. For example, I think in Kenya, it takes 3 weeks to start a business. In South Africa, it takes 7 days to start a business. But in Rwanda, it takes 2 hours.
Hey.
Yeah, so
this is the stuff that makes our former Minister of Finance smile.
Yeah,
let's move on now to Telkom. The Telkom share has been rallying.
Yeah,
it sounds like investors have newfound hope in Telkom. But the question that you and I have is, will Sipho Maseko's billions unlock value at Telkom?
Well, I think his approach is novel. Okay. Right. And I think that's what the market is appreciating, to say that the approach is novel, because the approach is basically let's take on Telkom. Let's get government to sell down part of the stake. Let's talk to the likes of PIC to back the plan that we have, and then let's use Axion, which is an operator on the continent, to springboard their Mauritius base. Let's use them as a way to get into other African countries. Two, let's create an infrastructure, a Pan-African telecoms infrastructure company, take into consideration fiber assets, cell phone towers and data centers, which is different from what had been proposed so far. People had been talking about a value unlock with Telkom. And I think the way that it appears to be articulated by these parties is different. Two, we're still talking about the same group of assets, but the approach to how you unlock value from the assets is different. So people are appreciating that piece. The one analyst we spoke to said, great idea. Sipo's probably one of the best people to execute because he understands the company. He even set up, you know, the roadmap that's there right now. However, Sipo will have to be aware better than anyone else just how much of an execution risk there is here.
Sure.
Right? Because Telkom, good assets, but has failed to execute on unlocking value from those assets. So the track record of Telkom over the last year and a half or so has not been good. So whether Sipo is a good executive or not, the company comes with this baggage. Mm. And that's the view of the market, to say execution is going to be where Sipo really needs to come through, to say that is the risk. A lot of people have tried, right? He was on the way, but after he left, a lot of things have fallen apart, right? It's not like he would just come back and get back into the seat and then continue, because, for example, I don't think he has appetite to be CEO anymore, right? And if you've got, and if you're taking a stake from a governance point of view, it might be a bit tough, you know, to get back into that CEO office again. So it's a different type of role. You know, whatever influence you have on unlocking that, you have to lead in a different, you know, way. So the execution, everyone is just saying, great plan, we're positive. And for now, you know, you see the share price, but the execution is just going to have to be key.
You know what? I hear this. And for now, I'm going to say, with all the information that I have, if anybody can, Sipo can.
Yes.
When it comes to Telkom.
Yeah.
And so I think it's also one of those things of sometimes when you're not in the executive seat, that's when you actually can do the most in terms of strategy. You are an investor and you are a shareholder, because when you're CEO, you've got a board that you have to answer to. You've got shareholders. But if you're a shareholder yourself, you can negotiate things differently. I think I back it. We'll see, media. Okay, cool. I'm willing to swallow my words in a few months if I'm absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk MTN now. They're likely to keep the IHS Towers investment for now. Yeah. Why would it be temporary?
You know what's interesting about this?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of drama around this IHS MTN thing, because Bloomberg reported that there was a general meeting that devolved into chaos earlier this week, because two of the biggest shareholders, MTN and another company, I'm just forgetting what it is, are at a bit of loggerheads with the management over there at IHS. But the big news is the fact that recently MTN said that they aren't looking to sell, right? Because basically where all of this comes, there's a little bit of history that comes along with it. When Rob Shooter was still CEO, they came up with this plan. Ralph Peter was CFO at the time, and they came up with this thing, Ambition 2025 and all of that. And part of it was MTN at the time was under a lot of debt. And they wanted to do something called an asset realization program. We're going to sell a bunch of non-core assets, raise money, and pay down our debt, because their debt at a group level was very high. Mm-hmm. It was one of the big things that investors had against them. So they were trying to raise funds. So in terms of letting things go, they at the time they owned about a third of a company called IHS.
Mm-hmm.
IHS is a tower company. So basically companies that run and operate towers.
Infrastructure.
Yeah. So IHS, interestingly, literally owns almost all the towers that MTN uses. Last year, they sold off all of their towers in South Africa to IHS, and that was IHS's entry into South Africa. Okay. And then MTN owns a third of the company. So in 2021, they go to the New York Stock Exchange, they list IHS, mm-hmm. and the plan had been, okay, we're going to list IHS, and then MTN is going to sell down its stake over time and then make back its money, because at the time they valued their stake in IHS at 30 billion rand, right? But now that same stake would be worth roughly 13 or 14 billion now, because sure. literally the price of IHS has gone down 49% since it's listed. So as far as MTN is concerned, they're like, there's no, what you call this, it makes no sense for us to sell, because we would be making like a huge loss on our equity, so we're going to hold on to the stake. Interestingly, they're holding on to their stake mm-hmm. at a time when telecoms infrastructure is becoming an interesting space to play in.
Okay.
We've literally just come from talking about Sipho's plan.
Yes.
You know, for...
And he wants to become a telecoms infrastructure giant.
Yes.
Yes.
So at the moment, it would make sense for MTN to hold on to its piece in IHS, because it means that you're owning about a quarter of one, of literally the biggest, probably the biggest African, you know, tower company on the continent, which is IHS. So it helps them on that end. Vodacom has been big on telecoms infrastructure as well, and Vodacom is just, it's in the process of creating a separate tower company that will run its own towers. They aren't selling their own towers.
Mm-hmm.
They are just keeping them, but just putting it in a separate company, and they're saying this is strategic for us to hold on to. So at that interesting point where these guys are like, we can't sell, but it helps for us. So that's where we stand at the moment. It is an interesting space, mm-hmm. and we just wait to see how it develops.
I'll be watching this one very closely, Mudira, because the telecoms companies in South Africa are always doing interesting things.
Yes.
I consider it to be one of the most interesting sectors that we
look at. They keep us very busy.
Absolutely. Okay, last story. Apple tries to redefine computing with their new Vision Pro. Now, Mudira, you know I own a pair of Oculus.
Really, you've got an Oculus?
Yes, it was it was a Christmas present from my husband, nice. and I sometimes I box in the virtual reality, and it's great.
Yeah,
and I love these things.
Yeah,
I didn't think I would. It's not something that I would, but I like these things.
Mm.
So I am actually interested to find out if Apple is trying to, you know, introduce us to a whole new way of being able to use their stuff, and if it would be a similar or better experience than an Oculus, for instance.
Well, right now, everyone that has tried the Vision Pro says it's much better than because there's three big VR headsets right now. There's the Oculus, you know, that's coming out from Mark Zuckerberg and his people.
Mm-hmm.
There is Microsoft has one. I'm just forgetting. I think it's called the Halo, if I remember correctly. And then you've got PlayStation. You know, PlayStation also has a headset. So out of those three, everyone is unanimous to say that just from a user experience, software, and execution point of view, Apple has out the park, but it's gone, finished. Gone.
Okay.
It's gone.
Tim Cook
for the win. They've come back again. They weren't the first to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They never are the first to do it. But when they do it, they just completely change the game. So I think from that point of view, the execution looks excellent. That's the first thing. And then the second one, there seems to be, what makes these other glasses different mm-hmm. is the fact that usually you get into the glasses and you're sort of like into the world.
Yes.
And with an Oculus, if I remember correctly, you can, it does have the ability to see.
Yeah, switch out. You can kind of see
out. But here, Apple is doing augmented reality and virtual reality at the same time. This is their biggest game changer.
So
right?
What does that mean? What does that look like when you're wearing the headsets, the augmented reality?
So they're basically saying, I can see you clearly as if I'm not wearing glasses,
okay.
but there can be a Safari tab in my periphery.
That is
where we are. And at the same time, if we want to conjure like a 3D model or something here on this table, you know, it will happen. So the thinking is that Apple calls it spatial computing because they always have to, you know, come up with their own, what you call this, their own names for this thing. Because basically they're talking about iPhone apps, iPad apps, and Mac apps being available on this platform. And they already are, right, available on this platform. So the thinking is that Apple is betting that in the next coming years, the next stage of how you interact with the computers is putting on something and then interacting. You can go into your browser, you can play games, watch movies, all of it, executed in the Apple way.
That is so fascinating, very exciting. And I think the only person who's probably more excited than me is TT, who does the Power Breakfast Show, because he also loves Apple as much as I do. So we'll be watching that one as well, Maduro. And also, those headsets are 63,000 Rand, so that's not happening anytime soon. But when
the price will come down.
Yes, when it does come down, I'll make sure that we grab that one. Thank you for your time, Maduro. Always a pleasure having you in studio and having you chat with us.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
All right, that's where we wrap things up for Power Business this week.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.